morning, everybody. It's great to be here. It's great to see us so full, and it just confirms how we need to get out of this place. And find somewhere bigger so we can fill up as well. And I want to remind us all of the vision that we all have of one day doing what? Filling up the MCG. Now, I know you don't believe me. And I know you might think it's conjunction with a cricket match or something, but wouldn't it be amazing to hear 100,000 people be there together and worshipping God? I actually believe that God wants us to have those dreams. You know, without a doubt. But let's move on, and a couple of things I want to say. I want to welcome up Sam. Welcome back, Sam Michelle. Didn't realise they were gone. Sorry, they've been overseas and visiting family over there. So even though most of Michelle's family is here now, Sam's family is over there. But it's great to have them back. And I want to welcome my brother visiting with us from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Come on, Jim Bill I there. So Jim. But there was a tradition when a couple were, or someone was about to, I would sing a song and people knew what was going on.
Love is in the air.
Love is in the air. Everywhere I look around. Jim and Katie are a dating couple, so so we're rolling out the red carpet. We are rolling out this big fat red carpet to entice Jim to move to the most lovely city in the world. If he hasn't already figured out, if he's a smart man, that it is the most liberal city in the world. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why all of you are here. And why you're not going anywhere. Amen. But welcome, Jim. Can you sing, Jim? Are you a song leader? You are a song leader. It's not a good thing, I'm wasting my time. I'm just cutting in my preaching time. But just a prayer for Bernice Ewa. As you know, what was shared last week, she's going through some issues, mental issues, and she's been having some treatment. Let's keep her in our prayers. If you want to visit, she's in Camberwell Medical Center in Richmond. People could visit her. The other thing, we got a call from Karen's dad last night. Karen's mother was rushed to hospital last night. And she's had circulation issues, and yesterday afternoon her half a leg went white. So she's already had some problems with circulation, so they have to get some blood there, or I think her father said, hopefully not, she may have to lose her foot. So it's fairly serious. So keep her and us in your prayers as well, and Jim. So before we get going, let's have a word of prayer right now. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity to come here today. Thank you for the family that we are. It's great being here. Lord, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, to be honest, right now. I love the fellowship. I thank you that your fellowship is your plan. You know, we wouldn't be here doing this if it wasn't for you. You're teaching us, Father, about what it is to be a family. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for what you do in our lives and and how you work in our lives so powerful. We do beseech you, Father, as our Father in heaven, you are the God who is in control of everything, Father. We know you create everything that we see. Father, we humbly come before you. We bring Bernice before you right now. Father, help us look after her, Father. I don't think she's been getting any visitors or many visitors at all. So, Father, just pray that we can lift that up and we lift her before you and pray that her treatment continues to work and your hand is on her. Help her to find peace in you, ultimately. Help her to have a clear mind and a clear heart and a clear thought process to be able to do just that. Father, pray for Karen's mum. Lord, be with the surgeons and heal her leg, Lord. I know that she's been studying your word right now as well, and that's been encouraging and exciting. She, in her way, Father, gives you thanks for what's going on. I really pray that she can take the next step with that, take it much further, Father, and really begin to trust in you like never before. Father, give us your words as we share our faith with her. And Father, we just thank you so much for what you do in our lives. I pray for this morning's message. I pray you open up our hearts. Be with me, Father. I'm going to make the message clear, Father, and it convicts all our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We're in Luke chapter 8. Would you like to turn there with me? Last week we talked about being a family, being a lamp, and then Jesus coming to storm. The title of my sermon today is The Battle for Freedom. The Battle for Freedom. You know, it's a common concept that many wars have been fought throughout the generations for freedom. When someone's been oppressed, they oppose that. They want to be free. The whole concept of good and evil is so prevalent in our society. And whether you believe in God or not, I think we all believe that there's good and evil. You know, Hollywood has that attitude. You know, you might think of Star Wars. Lord of the Rings is all about that good and evil. And finally, The Avengers.
Yeah.
Come on. It's a great movie, but I don't know if it's got a bit of evil. But anyway, definitely Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, more about that sort of situation. You know, the Bible is full of the whole notion of good versus evil. You know, the battle for freedom. The Exodus is all about that. The Israelites were trapped, and God set about to freedom. Let's turn look at some verses together before we read Luke chapter 8. So I have no idea why I got you to turn there. But keep your finger there if you like. In Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10, it says, finally, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, that really sums it up, doesn't it? You know, Paul makes it clear that there's this battle going on. There's this spiritual force, good versus evil. And it's happening in the heavenly realms. And what's it all about? I think it's all about the battle is for our freedom. Because the Bible teaches us in some sense we are oppressed by many things in our lives. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But the battle is for us to be free. And to truly live a free life. And today, you know, I want to impress on you more than anything else. If we can get away, if we can walk away from here truly being free to live the life that God wants us to live, that will be a great thing. You know, as I got this morning, I prayed, you know, and there's that verse in 1 Peter where it says that you may be filled with an inexpressible joy. And I often wonder, am I really experiencing that inexpressible joy? How often do I really experience that joy that is meant to come with a relationship with God? You know, I don't want to get to the end of my life and kind of somehow figure it out and go, man, now I realize. I want to get it now. I want to live it now. I don't want to have to wait. And anything that's hindering that, I want to know about it in my life. You know, in John chapter 10, tell me there. John 10. You know, verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. There's the battle. You know, there's this battle in the heavenly realms. You know, the thief comes, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come to have life and have it to the full. And of course, the last place where this battle is played out, I believe, is in our own hearts and in our own lives. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, and then we'll go to Luke chapter 8. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Paul says, so I say, verse 16, Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. You know, Paul gives us insight here into the battle that's played out in our own lives. He says, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature, is what they are in what? Conflict. There's this battle that rages within. And one's pulling you one way, the Spirit's pulling you one way, and the Spirit's pulling you one way. And I can tell you now, before I became a disciple, before I read the Bible, I felt that battle. And now, definitely I feel it even more. But we all know that. I think whether you believe in God or not, I think there's always that battle. Now, some people squash it. Some people bury it. They sear their consciences where it's no longer a battle because they're not even looking. They're only following one way. But I think you'd all agree that we've all felt that battle. And that battle is for our freedom. If we turn to Luke chapter 8, if we go to Luke chapter 8, look at our text. Now we'll look at the healing of a demon-possessed man. And I actually believe this is really a battle for freedom. This is what's going on here. Let's read it together. In verse 26. It says, they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, what is your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. You know, last week we ended off talking about Jesus calming the storm. And so we've gone from stormy waves to a stormy life. And it's hard to know for sure whether or not this is just simply a continuation. The Jesus in the boat, because if you read when he calms the storm, that they're going over, he says, let's go into the other side of the lake. So this may be exactly where Jesus was going. Now the issue, a couple of issues here before we make a couple of points, is did Jesus know this guy was there? Did he know this demon-possessed man was there? Well, given the extent and how full-on it was, he probably did. I mean, you've got the Sea of Galilee, where the Gerasenes was, you've got Capernaum and Tiberias on one side of the lake, and as you stand and look across, you see the Gerasenes. You can actually imagine, and there's steep kind of hills, so you can imagine where it says the pigs, in this case, rush down the bank. Some people used to think it was like a cliff. There is no cliff and stuff. It's just a steep bank that rushes down into the water. And there would have been towns on the other side. About 8 miles across, 7 or 8 miles across. Chances are, such a tight-knit community, even around the lake, probably knew the word would have got out about this guy. And for some people, it may have been actually a bit of an attraction. When you see someone like this, you think, hey, there's a guy over there, no one can bind him, he's got all these demons in him, he's naked, wouldn't be too nice, would it? He's cutting himself, man, it's wild. It kind of gets your curiosity. See, I think Jesus probably did know the guy was there. Matter of fact, it may have actually been the reason why Jesus went to the other side. As we talk about this, as we talk about the whole idea about demons, and you can ask yourself, what's the point? Why is this in the Bible? How does it relate to our life today? Do we deal with demon possession today? Well, I know if you're a parent and you've got some kids. And you may have, particularly a couple like a two-year-old, or maybe a bit older. I know my mum used to call me, you're a little devil. You little devil. I thought it was very nice. Sometimes you may think your children are demon possessed. The way sometimes they carry on. They're out of control. It's like wild. I've seen some of your kids do it. And how you have the inability to control them. That's another point for a parenting brochure. What's the point? Now, obviously, it's really not about that. As we talk about this, one point I want to make simply here is Jesus. What I loved about Jesus more than anything else, but I love lots of things about Jesus. But one thing I love about Jesus here is I love the way Jesus ran to the problem. I really do that. I love the way Jesus ran to the problem. And look, this is me speculating and middling. But I have no problem believing without a doubt Jesus knew the guy was there and he'd say, I need to deal with this. I need to deal with this. We know that happened in John chapter 5 with the healing by the pool. When he found the guy, the Bible says when he found the guy being like that for so long, 38 years, Jesus goes up to the man. The guy didn't come to Jesus. He went up to him. On the outset here, what do you like with dealing with your problem? What do you like with dealing with issues in your life? Family issues, married issues, these things. Because for us, as we read this together, there are many. There are many. My first point this morning, as we look at this, we need to fight for freedom. If our battle is for freedom, we need to fight for freedom. The Bible says that this guy, is the least. Who are we? We are many. My name is Legion because we are many. So it takes the term of the Roman army. A legion was how many men? Thousands. Anywhere between 5, my research shows, anywhere between 5 and 7,000. That's a lot of demons. That's a lot of problems. How many problems do you have? How many issues do you have in your life? Between 5 and 7,000? Not that many? Maybe a handful? What's the point of this? Well, I think chances are, without a doubt, Jesus wants to let us know, why is it here, that whatever the issue is, no matter how many problems you may have, Jesus can deal with every single one of them.
Amen.
And I love that fact. We need to fight for our freedom. Look at verse 29 for a second. Go back and look at verse 29 for a It says that for Jesus had commanded evil spirits to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and been driven by the demon into solitary places. And I like this point. It talks about the fact that the demons, and we'll talk as well about this, is that at what point here is the man breaking through? What point of this is the demon? And what is it the man? Because I think, you could sit here and think, well, there was no man, this was simply all demons. And I kind of somehow believe that maybe the man was trying to break free. The man was trying to push his way through all these issues. The Bible says here, though, that the demons would drive the man into solitary places. Now, we're not going to call the problems you have demon possession. But I know that a lot of us here, there are many issues in our lives that we get confronted with. But where do your issues drive you? You know, where do your problems drive you? You know, what are the issues we face? They're a handful. We have all our fears. We have the stress of life. We have our anxieties. We have our doubts. We have our insecurity. We have financial issues. We have the sins we deal with in our lives. That sin that wants to drag us back. We have relationship problems. We have, in those relationship problems, we have marriage issues. We have sibling issues. We have family issues. We have dependence issues. Where we stop dealing with things, we may turn to gambling and alcohol and drugs and smoking, all sorts of things. We have these issues in our lives, and sometimes they are many. And sometimes they pile up. And you may think, well, I don't have a legion. Well, let me tell you now, I might not be too far because it's just piled up on me. But where does it drive you? Where does it take you when you find issues in your life that are confronting? I think sometimes it doesn't take us where it needs to take us.
That's right.
Yeah. And in the case of this guy, it says it drove him to solitary places. It drove him to places where there was no one. It drove him to places where he didn't get the help. It drove him to places where he probably would cut himself. It drove him to places where there was no one, simply all on his own. You see, I know we've got issues. I know there are things in all our lives. But where does it take you? Where are you being driven? Where are you being driven to? By the problems you face in your life. Because I tell you now, the only place it needs to take you is back to God.
That's right.
It needs to take you back to God. Because these times, the temptation for these things is always to take you away from where you need to go. And it's sad to see, isn't it? It's sad to see people depend on other things other than God.
Yeah.
Sad to see when we turn to all sorts of things. And even relationships. You can say, well, you know what? I've got my wife. I've got my husband. I've got my boyfriend. I've got my job. That's my little... No! No, no, no! That's not the foundation either. I'm not saying we shouldn't rely on each other. I need you guys in my life. I'm happy to try and tell... I want to run to you. If I've got issues, I've got problems, you're going to be the first to know. Because I want your prayers. I want you on my side. I can't survive without you. That's a fact. But I tell you now, before I go to you, I'll go to God. I want to be driven to God. Now my temptation is to be driven elsewhere. My temptation is to be driven inward. My temptation is to lose myself in, well, not me in a computer game, but sometimes, you know, we'll lose ourselves in other things. We'll find other things. Let me find the thing that gives me security. Maybe, you know, if you're a man or a woman, I was going to say a woman here, and just relate to shopping. But now these days, men love to shop as well. You know, just go online, click away, and away you go. But we can find our security in so many other things. And we get driven away. From God in our life. Now, how do we claim this freedom? We claim out this freedom through openness. We claim it by being honest about where we're really at. You know, if we look back at the man, the Bible says that he was cutting himself. I don't like this. You know, he was cutting himself. Who was doing the cutting? Who was doing the cutting? Was it the demons? Or was it the man? So I think I can get a grip a little bit on why people self-harm. I can get a grip a little bit. Because I think if you're feeling that overwhelmed, if you're feeling that intense about your life, what's going on, you just want it to go away.
Yeah.
You just want it to go away. And I know when I've had those intense, anxious moments in my life, I hated it as much as I tried. I just want this to go away. So you push yourself to do things, and you do things to get your mind off what you're thinking. And that's how it works. You just want to do something else to get away from it. Yes. And so you, whatever it takes, you'll do it. And so, you know, when I read this guy cutting himself, I'm not convinced it is the demons. Mm. I think it's the man. He's battling. He doesn't want these things, and he has to get away from it. And so he cuts himself, and he harms himself. And we don't understand the harm that we do. You know, we don't do it this way, but we do it in other ways.
Yeah.
Where we cut ourselves and we self-harm. And there are many ways, and I don't want to sit here and discuss them all. The point of this point is to say we have the issues. We need to fight to be free. And I believe this man was fighting. As much as there was the demons there, I think he's trying to break free.
Yeah.
I think when he sees Jesus, I'm not convinced. Maybe it is the demons, and maybe it's both. But I think there's a man in there somewhere saying, I need to get to Jesus. I'm going to fight to get there. I don't know what the demons were up to. Why couldn't they just take them away? But maybe this guy was in there trying to push through, trying to break free from the pain that he was feeling. And he knew the only solution was Jesus. You know, we can try all sorts of things in our lives, but the solution will always be Jesus. You know, I appreciate the fact that people get open about their lives. And you know, I've talked through people in the church who have gotten help with all sorts of issues. Help with gambling. Help with alcohol. And yeah, they've gone to God first. You know what? They've got help outside. But I appreciate the fact they're saying, you know what, I need help. Because you're going to fight for freedom. You're going to claim your freedom. You've got to be open. You've got to be open with your life. You know, maybe it's time for you to say, you know what, yeah, I've got issues. Maybe it's time I ran to Jesus. You know, if you're visiting here today, I want to encourage you to stay the Bible. I know we ever looked at it. I knew the Bible growing up. I went to church growing up. But no one ever really sat down with me. And so let's go through the scriptures together. Let's make sure you've got a relationship with God. When was the last time you did that? And for the disciples here, I think it's so important for us to make sure we're always running to Jesus. Make sure you're open. We talked about this, the whole idea about creating family. I've got to push it again. Get open. Get open. Talk about what's really good. No matter what it is, no matter how painful it is, because if you don't, you're just self-harming. You're only harming yourself. If you've got kids, you're going to harm them as well. No matter how embarrassing it is, no matter how many times you need to do it, keep getting open. Keep getting open until it changes. You may have a legion in there. Drive them all out. Don't leave anyone in there. Keep it. Don't settle for anything else until you feel, man, I'm free. And I've got that inexpressible joy.
Come on.
That's the way. Don't settle for second. Push, fight for that freedom that God gave you. You were born free when you got baptized into Christ. You understood that and you felt that. Don't go back to what you were.
Come on.
Don't go back, no matter how painful. Don't let the issues that stop that. Don't think it's just going to go away. They do not simply just go away. Do you think these legions are going to go away? They don't go nowhere, man. They're a home. It was home for them.
That's right.
These things will make a home in your life if
you don't deal with it.
That's true. The second and last point.
Come on, Mike.
I've got 2 minutes.
Come on, Mike.
Come on.
The freedom to express. The freedom to express. Now, I mean, the most amazing thing about this guy, right, is we won't talk about the pigs. Let's not talk about the pigs so much. It was 2,000 pigs. It's pretty bad for the pig farmers, obviously. Have a bit of heart for them, and that's it. That's all we'll do with them. The amazing thing about this guy is he comes to Jesus, and what does it say? And this is nice, isn't it? What a great scene. Where am I? In verse 34.
Is that right?
He's dressed in his right mind, so I lost my spot here. Sitting there. Okay, so I was there. When those tend the pigs, verse 34, saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town and countryside. The people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You kind of love this, don't you? This whole idea that they were afraid. He's there sitting there. What? What? This guy was wild! I mean, you know, and I remember when I first became a disciple. I mean, my parents thought I had lost my mind. Seriously. They had thought I lost my mind. I mean, there I was. You know, I used to work at, used to start work at 7:30. Before I became a Christian, I'd get up about 10 past 7, put on my overalls, jump on my push bike, and ride to work. But now, I'd be up, and my light was on. And I'd hear my dad whisper to my mum, "What's he doing in there with the light on?" And at 6:30 in the morning, "Oh, he's reading his Bible." What? When I started to do the dishes, I had never washed a dish in my life. I'd clean my room, I'd make my bed. You know, my mom used to make my bed till I was 21, 22. My mom would come in and clean up. I'd have all the socks, no one tell you what else was on the floor. And my mom would come up and she would clean everything up for me. I'd come home, my room was pristine. That was me. Terrible, isn't it? Yeah. Terrible. And she had 3 boys and a sister. We made sure my sister did all the washing of the dishes, but not the boys. That was... that was, I'm just giving you the sitting dressed in his right mind mentality. As much as that was my household. I could tell you some shocking things. Not shocking as in... But shocking. Shocking. My poor mother. Anyway, so now we'll do the dishes. And I say, my mum would actually say, "Don't do the dishes." She was so, I'd say, "Hey, mum, I'll do the dishes." "No, no, no, don't do the dishes, I'll do them, you sit down, you take care of yourself. I'm going to do the dishes." Anyway, that's what I was, lost my mind. It's a nice thing. And of course, the thing, the story here is the fact that, you know, when we come to Jesus, when we hand these things up, our minds start to change, you know what I mean? We're thinking clearly. Things are more than they need to be. And then from that point, we get the freedom to express. Now the guy goes on, Jesus says to him, what? The man begs to go with the man from whom the demons had come, verse 38, had gone out to beg with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible says he went to the Decapolis, which is the 10 cities of the area. So he went beyond his hometown. But you know what? There was a sense that there was a freedom to express. And I obviously believe that for us, there's no greater thing we can do to express our freedom. And the battle we've overcome being free is that we express now what Jesus has done for us. And I don't really understand how liberating it is, what it means for us to be free to share our faith. You know, our fear drives us away from sharing our faith. But if we learn to express, you know, I was thinking about this morning, I thought, you know, what is it about sharing your faith? What is it about studying the Bible with someone? And I was thinking about, what is it? You know, for me personally, it just brings clarity to my own life. When I share my faith, it brings clarity. When I sit there and study the Bible with someone, it brings clarity. It helps me to deal with my issues. It really does. And I want to encourage you with that. Sit down, we've said this before, find someone. And don't just say, you know, just for the, it's not, this is not just about you, obviously. But I'm saying to you that when you share your faith, it brings clarity to your own life. It brings clarity to your own issues. I've been helped so much in my own life when I sit down and study the Bible with someone. Every time I study the Bible with someone, something happens, I go, man, wow, yeah, that's right, isn't it? I get convicted every time. I get convicted. And I think it's awesome. It brings clarity to me. It makes things clear for my life and where I'm at. And again, what was the last time? Are we free? Are we free to express our faith in Christ? Well, for a lot of us, it's still an issue. Is it hard for you to share your faith? You know, we're talking, we spent a weekend with Mike and Terry Fondo and the Hansels. And Terry was sharing about Helen Nunjinder, who leads her husband leads the church. And she was just sharing, she said, you know, she and I was blown away with it. She said, no, I said, it's true. She said, Helen goes out and shares her faith every day. Really? Every day she makes a point to go out and share the faith. She said they had a party there, and she said Helen had all these friends coming, and she said that her 60th birthday party, she said all these friends and people, and all Helen was doing all night was say, come meet my friend, come in and listen, you'd love to get meet her, and then she's just all over the place introducing people that she had met. This is a 60-year-old lady who makes a point sharing her faith every day. And if you meet Helen, you'll think, wow, she's a great lady. She's sincere, she's pure-hearted, she's very, very giving. You met her, she was here at, that's right, she's a great sister. I was blown away by her. I thought, you know what? You want your faith to be clear. Make sure you have the freedom to express it. We can't sit here, people. We can't sit here and come to church and not be active in sharing our faith, right? We can't be disciples and not be free to express our faith. We can't. You just can't. The two don't mix. You can't sit here and not do that. You can't come to church, you can't read your Bible and not share your faith. Churches are full of people who think being a disciple is simply just believing and that's it. Don't tell me I need to do anything. It's not about telling you to do anything. It's about being free to do it. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm telling you to understand the freedom that comes to understanding you've been free. And now you'll freely express what God has done for you. There's a battle that rages. And that battle is to be free. Let's fight for that freedom. And more importantly, let's express that freedom that we have in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.